Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Fix It with Faust here on Healthy Life Net, all positive talk radio. I'll be with you every second Thursday of the month, bringing you some of the most fascinating guests, all giving you invaluable information, some of which will absolutely change your life. I'm the director of the Fix Yourself Power Zone and the author of the Fix Yourself Handbook, the Fix Yourself Anxiety Handbook, and the new Fix Your Depression Handbook, which has just been published. So do go to Amazon and get your copy. You can find everything you need at the Power Zone at www.faustruggiero.com. So today, everyone, I'm thrilled to be spending time with someone who specializes in working with children and adults ranging from age 5 to 90 years old. Her innovative approach aims to reduce or eliminate conditions such as ADHD, anxiety, anger, depression, chronic pain, learning problems, and trauma. Dr. Connie McReynolds is an esteemed and accomplished professional in the field of rehabilitation, counseling, and psychology. With over 30 years of experience, she holds licenses as a psychologist, certified rehabilitation counselor, and certified vocational evaluator. Her book, Solving the ADD Riddle, The Real Cause and Lasting Solutions to Your Child's Struggle to Learn, is something we'll be talking about a little more as we go on today. Dr. McReynolds, welcome to Fix It with Faust.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, and it's a pleasure to have you. You know, bring us up to date a little bit. You know, you've been doing this for, I assume, a few years, and specializing a lot, from what I'm reading, in ADD and ADHD, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, I specialize in a lot. The book is really about solving the ADHD riddle. And that came about based on 15 years of work and 30 years of experience in the field. So it's been a journey, and one I'm happy to share with your listeners now.
Wonderful. So talking from one psychologist to another, you know, when I'm talking with people, I like to go to basics first. When you're talking about, for example, ADD, ADHD, can you give us a good definition of what that is? So people are at least, that we can give them that foundation to get us started.
Well, it's interesting that you asked that question, because I think it's a very important one for the discussion. There's the traditional view, how I've come to describe it, which is that a person has problems paying attention, or maybe the child can't sit still in a chair or learn. And so those tend to be behaviorally focused definitions, which is typically how the diagnoses are made of ADD or ADHD. The one I've come to understand, and what I've written about in my book, is a little bit different. So what I've done is kind of peel back that label and look at some of the root causes, what I believe to be the root causes of the behaviors. And by getting at that, then we're able to find these other alternative solutions that seem to be working a little bit better for the folks that come to my clinics.
Okay, so when you're diagnosing, if you will, and I know myself, but I get the same things that you get, you know, the behavioral things and the attention and the focus and memory and things like that. But there's obviously a lot more to it. So if someone mm-hmm. comes to you, what are you looking for if they, you know, a school sends someone to you, or parents come from the school and they say, well, can't do all these things in the classroom. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for?
So what I look for are the signs of auditory and visual processing problems, which I believe is the foundation underneath all the different types of diagnoses that children and adults can end up with. And those diagnoses have a far-ranging list, from attention problems to behavioral problems to anxiety to learning difficulties and even cognitive impairment. And when we peel all of those things back and really get at what are, I think, the root causes again, which are these auditory and visual processing problems, and we do this, I do this through an intake, but I also use an assessment that's looking at 37 areas of auditory and visual processing. And we can then dial in on the very specific areas that are not functioning well in the person's brain, and we use brain training techniques to strengthen that. So, for example, we might hear someone say, oh, whatever I say just goes in one ear and out the other. Well, that is a sign of an auditory processing problem. It isn't a willful behavior, and it isn't that the child is intentionally not paying attention. If this child could pay attention, believe me, they would. No one wants to be in trouble, and no one wants to be, you know, cast as one thing or another in a classroom or as a child or an adult. For visual processing, this could be the child who has really messy handwriting, maybe can't write very well, maybe has trouble copying information from the whiteboard down to a piece of paper, and they can look really disorganized. And again, this isn't something this child is intentionally trying to do. And when we find that the traditional interventions haven't really yielded a lasting effect, then perhaps it's time to dig a little deeper. And that's what we do.
So when you're digging deeper, I'm assuming you're including both physiology and neurology. You're digging deeper. Are you trying to get to a cause? And the other part of the question is it specific to individuals, or pretty much everyone else has a generalized effect?
Well, what I have found, at least, and I obviously can only talk about the people I've worked with in my clinics over the last 15 years, is that the cause I see, based on this assessment, so this assessment is looking at those areas of auditory and visual processing. I'm also, in the intake, taking the behavioral notes. I'm understanding what this is like for this child or the adult, how they're living their life, what's happening, what is working, what isn't working, and then are there any correlations with the data then that come from this assessment? And it turns out there's a very strong correlation with this, which is why I really wanted to start getting this out. And each person is unique to themselves. There are markers, I think, if you want to use that term, of auditory, of visual processing. In the book, I highlight that on a chapter on the auditory processing, a chapter on the visual processing, and then a chapter where it's combined for people. So everyone is unique. The assessment and the intake is unique to each person, as is the brain training program that we build for them, which is getting directly at the underlying cause for the behaviors that parents, the child, the adult, teachers are seeing in these children.
So the obvious answer is yes, it's specific, as most things are, to people, to the individual. Then the training program you would devise for that person would be specific to that person. And if you're talking about well over 30 things to look at on the scale, some of those will apply, some may not apply, some will be more intense than others. I mean, so you're going to build that program specifically for that person based on the diagnosis that you come up with.
Yes, absolutely. When we find those areas of weakness, then we target that. And in the assessment, I'll tell parents, okay, well, we've got these findings. So it might feel a little bit like a bad news situation, but the good news is, as I explained, is that we found this. And when I go over these findings with parents, they sometimes just break down emotionally because they have struggled for such a long time to understand their child. And, you know, it's very difficult for parents if they feel like they can't take care of something for their child and they can't help their child. They don't know what to do, and they've tried everything that's out there. And so this information that I provide them is a welcome relief for them. And the other side of that is, and there's something we can do about this. and that doesn't involve really a behavioral modification program, although I will help parents with tips for how they can work with a child, because if we find that there's an auditory processing problem that this child really can't remember what's being said to them, then more of that isn't the solution. Less of that is the solution, and finding the alternative way to communicate is a pathway to reduce some of the stress load that both the child, the parents, and the teachers are experiencing.
So when you talk about conditions like ADD, ADHD, you know, the traditional thing I hear from schools is, okay, learning disorder, which I've always had a problem with, because it's really a processing difference, is the way I've tried to teach it. One of the things I get a lot from parents and schools and so forth is that their behavior is so bad. They're angry. They react. They act out a lot. And we see that a lot with kids, even adults, who are having a difficult time with those auditory and visual components. Do you see a lot of the anger? And if so, how do you deal with that?
Oh, absolutely there's anger, because what has happened in this child or this adult's life is that, well-meaning or not, whatever it might be, if someone can't follow along with what's being said, and this is an ongoing problem, there's a tendency to kind of believe that it's the person not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And it doesn't mean anyone's necessarily creating a blaming situation, but there's a little bit of belief that this person is responsible for what they are creating. And that actually couldn't be further from the truth in the situation of auditory and visual processing problems, because most people don't want conflict. Most people want to do well. Children want to please their parents. They want to do well in school. They don't want to be called out. They don't want to end up in the principal's office. I had a kindergartner who had been expelled from 5 kindergarten schools because of his behaviors. Well, this little guy didn't have any auditory processing abilities. Imagine trying to be in a classroom or follow someone's instructions that you can't even figure out what it is that they're saying. And this has nothing to do with intelligence. And that's one of the most important concepts here, is this is not an intellectually limited kind of problem for most of the people that I see. This is a processing problem, and if I cannot remember what you're saying to me right now, and you're trying to tell me to do something, and I'm sitting there staring at you perhaps blankly or drifting off, you're going to continue to probably try to tell me what to do, and if I don't follow through, then there's the assumption that either it's a willful bad behavior or there's something really wrong with me. Neither are true. However, the results are the same. This child or me, if I've got this, I can't follow through. And imagine the frustration that a person feels when they are trying their very best to do what is being asked of them. However, they can't really figure out what it is. It's like being in a foreign country with people speaking a foreign language and saying the same things over and over and over to you and getting more and more frustrated. And you have no idea what's going on. You might even get a little bit scared because you might not know what to do. And if you're a child, it can feel very overpowering to have people frustrated with you when you don't know what to do and you can't figure out how to deliver whatever it is that is being asked of you to deliver. So, yes, there's anger. Yes, there's frustration. And, yes, there are behaviors. And in my world, the behaviors actually are the language to be decoded. These behaviors are telling us something. The traditional approaches tend to tackle it from the idea of, let's just get rid of the behaviors. If we just get rid of the behaviors, everything is okay. From my perspective, the behaviors are a piece of the puzzle that tell us that there's something going on here, that this child has, this is the only way this child or even this adult has to communicate that there's something wrong here. They can't figure something out. There's something that they need from those around them. And if we can just decode this, then we can better find the solution. And that is what this is all about.
You know, and I'm glad you said that. You know, as you were talking, it was tripping the switches, you know, taking me back, you know, into sessions with people. And one of the things you said was that people see them as responsible for the things they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose. But, you know, the human mind, genetically, environmentally, is going to adjust to what is it's experiencing. And that's the next question. These people experience all those things you were talking about. You're not doing this right. You need to pay attention. Stop doing that. You know, all that criticism, and the anger comes out, and people aren't deciphering what that whole thing's about. The person with this difference, if you will, neurological difference, is adjusting to a world where, as you say, the language is not the same. The way the mind learns then is completely different than someone who doesn't have this condition.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true. And if we can pull back a little bit, our maybe immediate response to try and better understand what this is, it kind of opens the door, I think, for a different narrative to begin, and that's really what I'm wanting to have happen kind of globally here, is we need a different narrative. The narrative we've had around ADHD, ADD, learning disabilities, kind of pull all those things together, that narrative, I think, is too limited anymore. It doesn't fit what's really going on. And I think we have to rethink what our options are and what the approaches can be now that we know more. We know more. I've spent 15 years uncovering this, and I know so much more than I did when I started this 15 years ago. I now can see these child. I had one child. I used to have a conference room that had a lot of movable chairs that would turn easily, and I had one little boy who had all 12 of them spinning during the intake. I had another little boy that in the lobby had crawled underneath all the chairs and pulled out the plugs. I didn't even know the chairs had plugs. Came in and threw them across the conference room. And so, you know, the parents are mortified when this is going on, and it's like, you know, this just tells us that there's something going on here. Let's just have a different conversation here. Let's do this assessment. Let's figure out if there's really something happening here. And 8 out of 9 of 10 people who come in my clinic, be it children or adults, are struggling in life because they have these auditory and visual processing problems that they've never really been able to describe to anyone, and they've never really been able to understand, other than somehow they feel different from others. Children can feel isolated. These are children who get bullied in school because they're looking around, their peers are doing something, they're not, the teacher is, you know, giving re-instructions to try and get this little person to do whatever it is they're supposed to do. And children pick up on that. And on the playground or in standing in line, that's when some of this bullying behavior can begin. And it's because they're perceived as being, quote, different. They're not, quote, fitting in. And therein lies the initial problem with self-esteem, self-confidence, and self-perception, just, you know, who am I? Clearly there's something wrong with me. I can't do this. And just the diminished sense of self that comes with this. And I really wish we could get this assessment in every elementary school in the country. Because if we could figure this out when these children are in elementary school and get this tackled, then we've just changed the trajectory of this country. We've changed the educational system in this country, and we've changed the lives of every one of these children who are struggling to learn. We don't have to have them go through a juvenile detention hall because they can't read when they get into middle school or high school and they drop out. We could change that.
You know, as the person is going through treatment, you know, I mean, obviously a child says, I'm being treated differently. They don't seem to like me. I may get bullied. I'm excluded from things. When does a person, in the course of treatment begin to understand that they're not broken? There's nothing wrong with them except for the fact that there are these concerns with, auditory and visual function. When do they start to see that, okay, this isn't me, this is something that I have?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's remarkable because it can happen pretty early on in the process. We typically will do about 30-minute sessions with people. We do 20 of those and then reassess. And in the first 5 or 6 sessions, this process is really about the brain learning how to function a bit better. So children are learning how to run a computer with their brain, and you can imagine a little bit of the excitement of that to begin with and the empowerment that comes with that. It's like, wow, I can do this. I can win these programs. They look like video games, but they're training programs. I can do this. I'm doing this with my brain, and maybe I'm not broken. Maybe I can accomplish this. And you can see them. They start smiling a little bit more. That pain starts to go away that's been in their face, and adults too. And they start feeling better about themselves. And obviously, I'm a licensed psychologist, so I could never do before and after pictures, but I've often said, if we could, the profound change that we see in the countenance of people is remarkable. Sometimes they don't even look like the same person at the end of this that they did when they walked in the door. They look completely different.
You know, it takes me back to a child I had, I'm thinking probably over 20 years ago, who came in, and she was a girl. And in the first session, I had a large office, and rocking chair in the office, and her first session with her mother had her on top of the rocking chair standing and rocking it, and you know, it was real quick to see what, you know, for me to see what was going on, put her through the programs, did all the things you were just talking about, and the esteem came in. And interesting, later, it was about 10 years later, she graduated as a salutatorian of her graduating class. The intellect was there, and what I saw was that the ones that were more intelligent had a more difficult time, because they innately knew they could do this,
right,
but all these roadblocks were in place.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So, folks, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things you can do to help address this problem. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
It's time to live every day in the moment, so your life will flow at a healthy and happy pace. When you live in the moment, you can deal with change better and learn how to achieve your goals easier. Find out how in Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook. Make your life simple and easy using a successful blueprint for a happy life with The Fix Yourself Handbook. This is your moment to improve your life. Go to FaustRuggiero.com and pick up your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Life is a process, and once you know how to master that process, you will have a life filled with creativity and passion. Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook, will help you master the process to become your authentic self, living in peace and harmony. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook today at FaustRuggiero.com. You'll gain the wisdom you need with this wonderful and practical guide. Do it now at FaustRuggiero.com. Remember, it's the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Loving yourself. Sometimes it's hard to do that, and sometimes you just don't know how. Now there's a way to help you understand how to love yourself. Faust Ruggiero's The Fix Yourself Handbook gives you a toolbox of formulas and routines to help you address how to love yourself and towards a life that is a healthy, progressive journey. Get your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. That's FaustRuggiero.com. FaustRuggiero.com. Hey there, wake up. Take your life off of autoplay and learn how to navigate your life using healthy routines and practices. Discover how to live more fully without the need of lies or defenses. Imagine confronting others peacefully. Well, there's one proven way to do it. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. Come on, you know you want to improve your emotional IQ, and with the Fix Yourself Handbook, it's easy, it's fun, and it works. So get out of autoplay and fast forward to FaustRuggiero.com and buy the handbook now.
More exhilarating talk HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Fix It with Foster, everyone. We're talking with Dr. Connie McReynolds today. Dr. Connie, we were talking about some of the things we do as we're working with these people, and I noticed that one of the things you do is, I think it's called a 30-minute session of specifically developed video games. What is that?
Mm-hmm. So it's called neurofeedback, and that word is a little bit foreign to some folks. So I really start with a definition of biofeedback, which most people have heard of. And biofeedback really came about when we learned that we could put a sensor of some sort on our finger and measure our pulse, and we could measure our respiration. And that by doing things a little bit differently in our body, such as relaxing our muscles or breathing differently, we could bring down our pulse rate, we could become in a more calm state. And that's biological feedback, which became shortened to biofeedback. Neurofeedback is the same concept. Only with this, we're using a sensor that gets affixed to the scalp that's literally able to read EEG data, which is just brainwave data, and feed that into the computer with nearly instantaneous response and feedback for the person. So, for example, if I have an auditory processing problem, I can't pay attention, I'm drifting off, we'll have a sensor, we put that on a certain location on the scalp, and then this information, it's fed into the computer. It's important for listeners to know that this is a one-way system. There is nothing in true neurofeedback. There are systems out there that do administer some signals back. That isn't really defined as true neurofeedback. True neurofeedback is just a sensor measuring brainwave activity and feeding that into a computer. And with that system, then if I'm drifting off and not paying attention, that gets measured. And I am not going to win that game, because maybe that type of training program, we call it games, requires me to sustain my attention, which is measurable. And if I'm drifting off, then I'm not going to win the points for that program. Another way to think about it is if I have anxiety, we're measuring brainwaves with anxiety. And if there's too much of that anxiousness being produced in my brain, that's going to show up on the screen. It's going to say excess tension. And so by being able to see that immediate feedback, I can then either consciously or through brain training adjust how I am responding. And so with the brain training programs, this is where the brain is actually learning how to strengthen the neuronal pathways in the brain. It's just repetition. And this is how I tell people, this is how you've learned everything you have ever learned in your life, is through repetition, from learning how to walk, talk, ride a bike, hold a pencil, do anything that you're doing. Your brain learned this through repetition. The beauty of the neurofeedback process is that we condense that down. We provide a structure for people where they're doing these sessions two or three times a week, and we're measuring their progress. So we have the baseline. And they come in, and then after 10 hours of training, we're going to come back. We're going to measure again to see the progress that's happened. And then if there are remaining areas, we're going to develop the next training plan for them, specific again to them and what they need. And usually at the end of about 20 hours or 40 sessions, most people have hit their goals. And again, sometimes it's so subtle for people, they don't necessarily recognize the changes. However, most people will notice that life is easier. Perhaps they're able to hang on to information better. Maybe they're able to remember where they left their shoes. Children might be able to better remember to turn in the homework, and maybe they're able to make their bed now, or maybe they're able to follow multi-step instructions. So it's a beautiful process in that, yes, we have data that we are gathering from the assessments, but the real proof in the pudding, so to speak, is what's happening in their daily life. And that's what I'm really looking for. Have you noticed changes? Have the parents noticed changes? And so one of the things that frequently happens with children who have these behavior problems in school is those behavioral interventions stop being needed. These children stop needing to go to the principal's office. And I actually did a pilot project in the school where we measured that. And indeed, the principal and the administration and the teachers were all saying, yes, this is, we don't see these children in our disciplinary actions anymore. These children are doing great. Their grades have improved. They're able to follow through. They're able to track. They're able to do what's being asked. And so that's where I'm really looking, is what's happening in your day-to-day life.
And it sounds exciting, and I'm thinking to myself as you're going, okay, we're getting this information. Then that is developed into a follow-through program, if you will, where parents or the adult can take that home and continue it there and build that into a lifestyle?
It naturally happens. It's something that they don't necessarily even have to do once the brain starts getting stronger in these areas. So if I'm improving my auditory memory through the brain training program, someone will say, oh, here's my phone number, and maybe now I can actually remember the phone number without having to put it in my cell phone. Or another case I had is a wife would often call her husband when he was leaving work and ask him to go to the grocery store and pick up a few things, and he could never get the job done satisfactorily. And one day he came in and he said, I just want to tell you I got everything at the grocery store last night.
It's a big breakthrough. It sounds small, but it's huge.
And I've also been told we've saved a marriage or two, because when you have these auditory processing problems and it causes discord in relationships, where one partner thinks it's almost an intentional ignoring of what they're saying, and then there becomes a lot of animosity that builds up. I actually was working with a veteran who, after we had worked with him, he came in and he told me, so I just want to tell you, I haven't taken a vacation with my wife in 20 years. I would come home at night and she would ask me questions and I would just explode because I just felt like she was being pushy. And he said, now I look at this. And he said she was just trying to get information. And I was overreacting to that because I couldn't process really what she was trying to do and needed from me. And he went on to say, for the first time in 20 years, we're taking a vacation together.
That's wonderful.
It's life-changing. Yeah, it's life-changing.
You mentioned, obviously, increases in short-term memory. So then the program actually has an effect on the coding and decoding process for the brain for memory storage and retrieval?
Mm-hmm. Well, it does, because what we're doing is strengthening the neuronal pathways that are a little bit weak. All of us have areas of weakness, most likely. A few people have come in through my clinic over 15 years and don't have any findings, but that is absolutely less than 10% of the population that I've worked with. And they may have anxiety or something else. It's truly just a state of anxiety. But most of the time when people come in with these other diagnostic conditions, which could be, I've had children diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome. I've had them diagnosed with autism. The former like Asperger's and, just a whole host of different types of things, executive functioning disorder, adults diagnosed with anxiety and depression, and all of those things could be existing. But if we're able to pull back the label and all of that and uncover that there are actually these auditory and visual processing problems that are contributing to the anxiety, and we can resolve that as well as help the anxiety dial down, their life changes. I treat a lot of folks with trauma. I work with a lot of veterans with PTSD. I've worked with children who come through foster care with trauma, and that amygdala system gets overfired, as you know, and it's hard for people to manually override that. And this helps retool that part of the brain so that the person can reclaim their life. And that's really what we're doing. In all of this, is giving people a chance to reclaim or demonstrate what they're actually capable of if they haven't been able to really shine very well.
You know, and with learning being a function of repetition over time, this kind of program that you're talking about is something that can benefit anyone. It's not just people with afflictions or other challenges. This is kind of something that, you know, it's exercise for the brain, is what you're saying.
It is, and we kind of say this is the gym for your brain. It gives you a brain boost. It just shortens the learning curve, if you will, by setting up the structure, kind of like having a training plan at the gym. You know, how many of us have the exercise bike in in the house? But, you know, if we go into the gym, we're a little bit better able to manage that on a regular basis. And the good news about this is once we've trained the brain, it tends to hold. So there's a lot of good studies out there that show that this brain training holds, and that's been the experience I've had with the folks I've worked with.
All right, everyone, we've come to the end of our second segment. We're going to take a little break, then we're going to be back with Dr. Connie McReynolds. Please stay with us.
Life is a process, and once you know how to master that process, you will have a life filled with creativity and passion. Fausto Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook, will help you master the process to become your authentic self, living in peace and harmony. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook today at FaustoRuggiero.com. You'll gain the wisdom you need with this wonderful and practical guide. Do it now at FaustoRuggiero.com. Remember, it's the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustoRuggiero.com.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love, and you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on Rock.com now.
Hey there, wake up. Take your life off of autoplay and learn how to navigate your life using healthy routines and practices. Discover how to live more fully without the need of lies or defenses. Imagine confronting others peacefully. Well, there's one proven way to do it. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustoRuggiero.com. Come on, you know you want to improve your emotional IQ, and with the Fix Yourself Handbook, it's easy, it's fun, and it works. So get out of autoplay and fast forward to FaustoRuggiero.com and buy the handbook now.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
Loving yourself. Sometimes it's hard to do that, and sometimes you just don't know how. Now there's a way to help you understand how to love yourself. Fausto Ruggiero's The Fix Yourself Handbook gives you a toolbox of formulas and routines to help you address how to love yourself and towards a life that is a healthy, progressive journey. Get your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustoRuggiero.com. That's FaustoRuggiero.com. FaustoRuggiero.com. It's time to live every day in the moment, so your life will flow at a healthy and happy pace. When you live in the moment, you can deal with change better and learn how to achieve your goals easier. Find out how in Fausto Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook. Make your life simple and easy using a successful blueprint for a happy life with The Fix Yourself Handbook. This is your moment to improve your life. Go to FaustoRuggiero.com and pick up your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook now.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with Dr. Connie McReynolds today. Dr. Connie, in the last segment, you mentioned a few things like anxiety and trauma, PTSD, and those kinds of things, and how they can affect, whether it's ADD or anything else in our lives. Are these things that exacerbate just the conditions we're talking about, or are we talking about a reciprocal thing where they kind of go hand in hand? One kind of is a pain buddy for the other.
Well, I think that's a very interesting question. I haven't really been able to separate it out in people, because I see that if a person comes in with the anxiety, with the trauma, and they also have these underlying auditory and visual processing problems, it's kind of like which came first, the chicken or the egg. I don't know. I really don't know. Now, as I mentioned in the previous segment, there's a small percentage of people that come in that don't have the auditory and the visual processing challenges. So for them, it could be just a straight anxiety situation, but 80 to 90% of the folks that I have worked with have both of those going on. If they walk in with anxiety, I typically am going to find auditory and visual processing problems, and as I explain it to them, so we don't really know which came first. I do suspect that both are aggravating the other situation, and the good news is we can tackle all of this simultaneously. So when I find that, we do both. In the beginning, 15 years ago, I only really ran this assessment on folks that came in saying they had ADHD. I didn't necessarily do it with folks with anxiety and depression. I started noticing kind of a difference in treatment outcomes. If you want to call it treatment, it's just brain training. And so then I started running that on everyone, and lo and behold, that's when I discovered there are so many people who are struggling who actually have these auditory and visual processing problems underneath what typically shows at the surface, which are the behaviors, the anxiety, the panic disorders, the trauma, and we tackle all of it at the same time. If they've got a lot of these things going on, it may take a little bit longer than maybe the 20 hours, which tends to be industry standard, but that's why we are always assessing after every 10 hours of training to be able to figure, okay, do we need to fine-tune this a little bit more? We've tackled this. If a person is assessed and has hyperactivity based on this assessment, then we're going to tackle the hyperactivity in the brain first, because that can actually have a domino effect. Once we tackle that, a lot of these other things can actually just go away, because the brain is able to process information in a less disorganized manner. The hyperactivity in the brain really interferes with everything. It's like static on a station or on a channel that the signals aren't going to come through very well because of all of the static. So we clear out the static, then sometimes that's all that person may need. It's like everything else just kind of falls into place. Other people, we might have to just systematically kind of go down the list of those areas that they're struggling in and just tackle them as, you know, the next one that we need to get rid of.
You know, you mentioned, as you know, they're with you a while. It might take 20 hours. All those kinds of things, and we all have those time frames in our heads as we treat people. With what you're treating here, and this is really for the listeners, because I know this question is going to be in their mind. Does a person start to see that some improvements are being made? Because, you know, there's such a positive correlation between I'm getting this, I'm doing well, and I continue my program. When do you see that they start to say, yeah, I'm starting to get this?
Mm-hmm. It's actually fairly unique to each person. I've had people come in after 3 or 4 sessions. I had one woman who had a very severe fibromyalgia, and she said she hadn't had a good night's sleep in 10 years, and she had done 3 or 4 sessions with us, and she came in and said, I just want you to know, I just had 7 hours of sleep last night, and that hasn't happened in 10 years. You know, that's kind of a remarkable outcome, but I believed her. She was the one living the story and telling me. We've had other people, it's so subtle that perhaps they don't see it. I had a mother early on that we had worked with her child, and we had done the 20 hours of training, and she came in toward the end and said, you know, I'm not sure I'm really seeing the changes here. And I said, well, you know, we've got the data. So I reviewed the data with her and said, well, we're showing that progress has happened here. And then the week after that, she came back in, and she said, I stand corrected. And I said, well, what happened? She said she went to a family reunion with her son, and she said everyone in the family was coming up to her asking her what she had, quote, done to her son, because he was so much better, well-behaved than he had ever been before. And she said, so I stand corrected. I guess the changes were so subtle I hadn't seen them, but there she was. And, you know, we celebrate it because it is important to be able to see the changes, as you're mentioning. And sometimes family members can see it more than maybe the person can themselves, but oftentimes the person can say, gosh, you know, I had this situation, and I realize now I reacted completely different. I had a veteran who did that very thing. He had kind of a hair trigger, a PTSD, and he would get triggered, and that triggering could last several days for him, where he would just be angry and kind of lashing out at people and his family, and he was struggling with that. And we had done, I think, probably 2 rounds with him. He was pretty close to the 20 hours. And he came in one day toward the end, and he said, I just want to tell you what happened yesterday. And he told me that he had been in his vehicle in a parking lot, and a woman in a van had backed into him. And when she got out of the van, she was on her cell phone and brushing her teeth. And he said normally he would have been wound up over that for days. And he said he looked at that, and he's going, well, okay, I guess I know why she had the wreck. And he went home, and he said he just wanted to let me know that it was a little bit later that he realized he wasn't perseverating over it anymore. And he said clearly his life had changed. And I think that's what we're looking for. We're looking for those signs, and that's what we want people to be focused in on as well. We've got the data in case they're not necessarily seeing the changes in their lives, but then sometimes others around them can see it, and sometimes they can see it themselves. And the same with children. We had a little boy who was about 10. I came in one day, and he was kind of long in the face. His parents were walking behind him, and I asked him how he was doing, and he said, well, kind of downtrodden, he said, well, it's working. He said, I can pay attention even when I don't want to now.
And that's really remarkable, you know. Now not only is he paying attention better, he's realizing that in some cases he doesn't want to.
It was so hard to not laugh. You know, I had to be really straight-faced with him. But the parents were behind him laughing and holding their chuckles in so he couldn't hear them. But we had a good chat when he was in his session. And I had a moment to talk with his parents, and they're saying, yeah, it's working.
So when you're doing this, there's a cognitive awareness that's developing. And
mm-hmm.
people are looking and saying, yeah, you know, I'm doing this different. They may or may not like all of it, or they may, and certainly will, because we know we're talking about cognitive learning, they won't know what to do with it right away, because that's part mm-hmm. of the therapeutic process. They're becoming very aware that they're mm-hmm. thinking, emoting, and doing things differently.
Mm-hmm. It is. And so it isn't that they are, oh, I've done this, and so now I'm going to choose to behave this way. It's that it's a natural process, because we've naturally trained and strengthened those areas in the brain. And that's the beauty of this, is that, and then it tends to hold. So when we can just naturally have this process getting better, it's like going to the gym, and I've worked out for a while, maybe I don't realize I've strengthened my muscles, but I go to pick up something that before might have been a little heavy for me to pick up, but now I pick it up with ease. It was like, oh, I just did that differently. It wasn't that I thought I'm going to pick it up easier. It's that I did it. And that's what this does. It's like this is just doing it then. It becomes a natural process for them.
Yeah, such an important part of the process. All right, mm-hmm. everyone, we're going to be back for our last session in just a few minutes with Dr. Connie McReynolds. So do please stay with us.
Hey there, wake up. Take your life off of autoplay and learn how to navigate your life using healthy routines and practices. Discover how to live more fully without the need of lies or defenses. Imagine confronting others peacefully. Well, there's one proven way to do it. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. Come on, you know you want to improve your emotional IQ, and with the Fix Yourself Handbook, it's easy, it's fun, and it works. So get out of autoplay and fast forward to FaustRuggiero.com and buy the handbook now.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
It's time to live every day in the moment, so your life will flow at a healthy and happy pace. When you live in the moment, you can deal with change better and learn how to achieve your goals easier. Find out how in Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook. Make your life simple and easy using a successful blueprint for a happy life with the Fix Yourself Handbook. This is your moment to improve your life. Go to FaustRuggiero.com and pick up your copy of the Fix Yourself Handbook now.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
Loving yourself. Sometimes it's hard to do that, and sometimes you just don't know how. Now there's a way to help you understand how to love yourself. Faust Ruggiero's The Fix Yourself Handbook gives you a toolbox of formulas and routines to help you address how to love yourself and towards a life that is a healthy, progressive journey. Get your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. That's FaustRuggiero.com. FaustRuggiero.com. Life is a process, and once you know how to master that process, you will have a life filled with creativity and passion. Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook, will help you master the process to become your authentic self, living in peace and harmony. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook today at FaustRuggiero.com. You'll gain the wisdom you need with this wonderful and practical guide. Do it now at FaustRuggiero.com. Remember, it's the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with Dr. Connie McReynolds today. Dr. Connie, we were just... you and I on the break talking a little bit about how we get the process started. So, you know, you've got someone and maybe, you know, they're experiencing some of the symptomology that we've been talking about. There's behavioral things, whatever it may be. They want to get involved with you and they start that diagnostic process to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first step?
Mm-hmm. The first step, and I know we'll get to this where this is all located, is to literally give me a call. That number's up on my website. And I take the calls personally, and so I will meet with them on the phone, kind of do like a pre-screening on what they're looking for, go through the process. So there's an initial intake, which is an hour-and-a-half process. And in that, I meet with them and the child, the adult, or, you know, however this is presenting for whomever is the identified person to receive the services. And then there's about 25 minutes of computer-based assessment, and then I go over all of those results that we've achieved at that intake, at the intake. And then we develop a strategy. Does this look like neurofeedback? Could be of benefit to this person. You know, here's what the time commitment would be. This is how we would go through the process. And I really want to stress to your listeners that I do have three clinics in Southern California, but you're going to have to be, you know, within 20 or 30 minutes drive time to do that, because it is a commitment two or three times a week. And locally, people do that. As I said, I've been doing this for 15 years, and people do that a lot. But the good news is, the other side of this is, I now am able to do this with people wherever they are, because we have the remote system that's been in place for almost 2 years now. And that really came about as the result of the pandemic in California. We were in lockdown mode, and people were really struggling, and we had to figure out how to do this. And with the onset of just, you know, more powerful computers, better internet services, Zoom services, and the like, we can deliver this to wherever a person is sitting now.
And that's wonderful to hear, because, you know, in your area, and it's just like mine, in my area, everybody can drive to me, and I still see people in the office, but so much is done remotely, and, you know, our listeners are all over the country, all over the world for that matter, so you might get those calls. So here's a question for you. And at the top of the show, you mentioned that, you know, we had those traditional diagnoses and those ways people treated this, learning disorders, et cetera. And a lot of times, by the time they get to you, they've been through two or three or four of these things, mm-hmm. and the trust factor has gone so far down.
Right.
You know, so, you know, just a way to help our listeners say, you know, calm down here. You're not going to get the same thing, you know. How do you get that to them? I'm not one of these people that did it that way.
Right. That's why I do the phone consult with them at the very beginning, because I answer those questions.
Okay.
I provide detailed information about how I operate, what we do, and the fact we've got testimonials up on the website. I've published. The book is full of data and resources and references in the book that if people want to dive deep into it, they can. I've also published in international journals, and I work with veterans with trauma and also with children with ADHD. I've been around the road. I was faculty for 25 years in an academic setting, and the counseling and psychology world for 30 years, maybe a little more now, as time keeps marching on. However, what I've learned, and my orientation had always been substantially different from the traditional view. I literally came up professionally in the field of rehabilitation counseling, which is looking at things differently. It comes from a strength-based approach. It's like, yes, you may have this going on over here, but this is what we can do about it. This is how we're going to move forward. When I taught psychiatric rehab, it was always a dual course. This is how we diagnose, pardon me, this is how we diagnose and get the person in the door. This is what we do next, because we drop all of that and figure out who they are. And my goal is to figure out who this person is, what's working, what isn't working, and then to deliver something that could have the potential of really changing their life permanently.
Sounds wonderful. So everyone, what you're hearing is, we're talking with Dr. Connie today, and she's got the approach. It's going to be tailored specifically for you, and all those old ways of dealing with things are going to kind of be pushed to the side. So, Dr. Connie, let's say they want to get in touch with you. They want to start this process. How can they do that?
Go to my website, which is www.conniemcreynolds, conniemcreynolds.com. There is a free brief assessment right there on the front page. So if they want to start there just to see, okay, am I in this or is my child, you know, really kind of dealing with these auditory and visual processing problems, the book is right there. It's available on Amazon. There's a contact form that they can fill out right there. Provide me with your phone number. Provide me with your phone number and then, and a little bit of information. I tend to prefer to call a person instead of writing lengthy emails, because I find that if there may be five questions in the email, and then there's going to be another five follow-up. So we might as well just do it on a phone call. So I'll do 15 to 20-minute calls with folks to just screen, answer initial questions. And, again, all of that's up on the website. Publications are listed there, and testimonials and information about neurofeedback. There are some video clips up there about how neurofeedback works as well. So it might help inform your listeners.
Great. So, everyone, you've got a program that diagnoses and treats your affliction, your kid's affliction. Go get to Dr. Connie McReynolds. Her website is there. Connie, it has been an absolute pleasure. It's been a lot of great information. Wonderful to know that there are people like you out there doing those things.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It's been a joy to be here and just try and spread the word about the alternative way and the narrative-changing activities that we can engage in around ADHD and a host of other conditions that we can help.
Thanks a lot. All right, everyone. So that concludes this week's Fix It with Faust radio show here on Healthy Life Net, all positive talk radio. In a month from today, I'll be back with another episode of Fix It with Faust. So be with us on that day. That'll be February 8th at noon Eastern Time, 9 Pacific Time. Until then, be well and stay safe, everyone. Have fun creating your world. And here's to the power inside you. God bless.